preaching a message today that is entitled, Do You Have Self-Control? Self-control means a lot of different things, and when you reverse that word from self-control, it means to control self. We're going to talk a little bit today about how we need to have self-control in the workplace, have self-control in the church, have self-control in your private life, having self-control in your home, in your neighborhood, and to be able to walk according to the way God wants you to walk. Over in Proverbs chapter 25 and 28, it says this. It says, He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Think about that. Let me read it again. For he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. This means that if you cannot control yourself, then you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable, and you have the potential to hurt someone, either with your mouth, by what we say to each other, or what we say to each other that causes emotional damage. And also, we can cause physical damage because in our lives we have trouble controlling ourselves. I want to ask you this question, because everyone puts on their good face and their church face around their pastor. But how do you act when I'm not around? Pastor Wright mentioned one time of when he used to go knock on doors. Of course, his church got so big that he couldn't do it, but he knocked on doors and he could hear people shuffling behind the door. And there was a pause while they came to the door, because they're straightening up things. They're fixing up things. They see him driving up, and then they think, oh, my Lord, it's Pastor Wright, and they're not ready for him. And so eventually he comes in, and Pastor Wright, and everybody has on their good face and all that kind of stuff. And the lady looks at her son and says, honey, would you go get my favorite book? The kid returns with the Spiegel catalog. How do you act when I'm not around? How do I act when you're not around? How do we act when we're by ourselves and when we're not having our show face on, so to speak? Do we have self-control? Do we have what God wants us to be? An example is to rule over your own spirit means self-control and self-discipline. Now, this sermon is hot off the press, and I tell you where it came from. It came from the Cleveland Brown-Pittsburgh game that was on Thursday night. Watch this.
Here it is. Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Oh, gosh, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
You know, Joe, I have been involved with these in the league office, and it would come to officiating first and then go upstairs for discipline.
Have you ever lost your cool so bad that it was that like that? Have you ever thought that, for an example, that when you watch that, that you literally can get so out of control, you can allow your flesh to control your whole self to where you get so out of control that you could kill somebody. When we first moved up here as a church, Lindsay and I were on our way to worship rehearsal, and there was a man on Route 4 that pulled out in front of me, and for me to get around him from hitting him, I had to cut, because he was in the fast lane, or in the one lane, and I had to go around him. That was the only way to keep from hitting him on how he pulled out. When I look back at this story that I'm telling you, I should have just kept driving through town instead of stopping at the house like I normally do where we park. And I got out of the car, and I noticed that he was on my tail, and he was flipping his lights, and he was doing all this, waving his hand and all that kind of stuff. And so I pull over, and I get out of the car like I normally do, and Lindsay gets out of the car. And the one thing that I didn't know that Lindsay was doing is she was recording. Always be careful, because somebody could be recording you. And you know who they want to bring it to first is the preacher. So Lindsay's recording this. This guy gets out of this car, and he lights into me, and he is, just calling me everything but a white guy. And then he tells me what church he went to. Well, me being a wise guy like I can be sometime, I had a comment about that. And then he gets out of his car, right down here. It could have got ugly. It got ugly, but it could have got uglier. Does anybody know what carnality is? Maybe some that are visiting, some that have been around a while. Do you know what carnality is? Carnality is to allow your flesh to have its way and to reign inside of you. That no matter what it feels like, I'm going to do it. You know, people say this many times. They say, well, I shouldn't say this, but, well, the comma should get you out of trouble, and the but should get you out of trouble to where you don't say it. John Sandy and I were in a situation on Friday afternoon, And this person said something to me that absolutely just rubbed me wrong. And he was standing up on a step, and I told John on the way out, I said, you know what? I said, if I wasn't preaching this sermon on Sunday morning, I said I could have took him and grabbed him and slung him off. That's what my flesh wanted to do, Sam. But my spirit wouldn't allow me to. It wouldn't allow me to. Now, the man of God that I was raised up under, he tells me this. He said, you can get to a place with God to where you feel it coming up out in you. When somebody's about to blow. Anybody in the house, straighten your halo a little bit. You're about to blow, and you can get to a place with God to where it's about to blow, but it doesn't come out. Then you can get to a place with God. If you really want to walk with him, you can get to a place with God to where it doesn't even bother you. Well, I'm working on that one, because I haven't arrived to the spot yet to where I can say that it doesn't rise up in me. And I don't get mad very often, but when I'm mad, it takes me a little bit longer to find my way back home. And it's rare that I ever am mad. What if we got so angry that we hurt someone? What if that shot with the helmet would have given him a concussion, caused him to bleed out, caused him to have a brain hemorrhage? But see, we say it, we're sorry afterwards, but when we're in the middle of the thing and when we're going through it, we have to learn control. We have to learn control. It's important that I don't make you look bad and that you don't make me look bad. Now, some of you all may think this is foreign. And you say, well, I get angry. You know, you made me mad. No, what happened is that was already down inside of you in your carnality which is as dangerous as a rattlesnake in a baby's bed. We have to be so careful. One of my pet peeves, and I'll sit here and tell you some of the things that are some of my pet peeves, is I hate to be tailgated. And I've got a car that can blow you off the map. You got to put gas in it after you do it. But it'll move. Some guy the other day, Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. Some guy was going on the interstate, and I'm telling you what, he wanted the real estate that I was on. He was climbing up and down me, and isn't it amazing to me that it's the little yapping dogs that make the most noise, but can't back it up when you go boo like that? They'll yap and they'll run. And it's always when you're having a good day. Come on now, you know it's true. You never blow it on a bad day because the bad day's already blown and you're thinking, well, you know, nothing. But it's always on those good days. It's that good day that he, and here this guy just wanted every bit of real estate that I was on. And I just, well, you know what the rule is to break check. How many knows what a break check is? Thomas knows. And if they hit you, make sure you get out and your neck hurts. No, I'm teasing. I was just trying to be a blessing to slow him down. Just, I'm an educator trying to educate him, trying to help. And I would like to invent signs that you could light up from the back window, or you know those funeral home fans? You could just write a word on them or two and hold it over to them when they're going by your car and you say, bless your heart. But we have to use self-control because, let me tell you something, the enemy is going to try because he knows you. The enemy knows you. He knows what you're all about. He knows how to push your button. Do you know how to push your spouse's button? Do you know how to make them mad? Oh, yeah, you can do it. And you just all of a sudden sometimes just have to say it just to make them mad, just to say that you've had a good day. You know what it takes. But see, what we have to do is we have to use self-control. Is this helping anybody in the house today? And I knew because I was getting ready to preach this message that I was going to come up a couple things. So I'm in Kroger the other day. Taze Valley, baby. West Virginia. And the guy looks at me and he says, you got to scan that item. Well, so I just reached for the scanner and was getting ready to scan the item, do what he told me to do. He looks at me and he says this, don't touch that. Little old beady-eyed, lop-eared, headed, bless his heart, told me that. I couldn't say nothing to him. I used to be able to carry on because I'm 82 miles away from you all. But we have a campus that is right there close to my house and people know me. It's amazing to me how people carry on. How people think they're entitled, although we know what we're entitled to as believers in Christ. But let me tell you something, we have to be gentle with the public. So I knew because of preaching this message, I would come up for three or four things that just happened after I penned this message It just, this stuff started happening, and I thought, you have got to be kidding. So here's the thing. I have to live it like you do. I have to live it like you do. Well, I just want to give him a piece of my mind, or I just want to give her a piece of my mind. Well, let me tell you something. I doubt it that God's going to let you do that. And if you do it, then you're disobedient, because let me tell you something. God is a God of love, peace, joy, and long-suffering. Sam Wayne taught me something years ago. When I first met him, he said, you can't help stupid. You can't help stupid, can you, Sam? Huh? God can, yeah, but we're, yeah. But we can't help stupid. And see, people are like that, and it's like people say, you know, if I give them a piece of my mind, well, if you're stupid, do you really have my mind? Now, I'm all about having the hard conversations with people. Having those hard conversations that may, you know, the goal is not to hurt your feelings, but the goal is to make you better, not bitter. People have had hard conversations with me when I get out of line, and you appreciate that. But oh, how many times do we wake up on the wrong side of the bed and good morning offends you? Come on now. You have a church service on Sunday where your arms are raised and you're having a great time and all this is going on and you're saying hallelujah and you're praising God, but then somebody makes you mad on Monday morning and man, it just sets your whole world. And see, people say, well, I'm in a bad mood today. Well, how in the world can we be in a bad mood when we are a child of the Most High God? We're not supposed to be in a bad mood. We're supposed to be constantly consistent. Now, let me tell you something. Things go wrong. Things happen. And they go wrong in my life. They go wrong in your life. But let me tell you something. Sometimes those things happen to show what you're made of. And there's sometimes I'm ashamed of what I'm made of because of my reaction. We have to learn to respond instead of react. In Galatians chapter 5, 22, it says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. In verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, let me define temperance to you. It's a moderation in action, thought, or feeling. Resistance. We, as believers in Christ, need to not follow our feelings, but to walk by faith. I think where the biggest problem that people have, some of you know that I do Uber. I pick up people. It's a wonderful ministry. And I picked this guy up yesterday morning, 7 a.m., drunker than a mojo. He said, what's a preacher running around drunk people? I picked him up. I didn't know he was drunk. And when I picked him up, he didn't say he was drunk, but I could tell. Just left a girl's house, John. He just left a girl's house. And he shows me this picture of her. He said, I've been dating her a week. And he had a lot of things to say about it. Well, you know how I am. I'll preach to a drunk guy, even if he may not remember what I said to him. Just because they may look good doesn't mean that there's not a devil behind the flesh. Let me get you a little uncomfortable here. And let me get you squirming in your seat and looking at your shoelaces here just a little bit. Let me tell you something, church. What I can't figure out is why there is so much demonic sexual activity that goes on in Braxton County. who's cheating who, who's being true, and who don't even care anymore. Oh, it's quiet in the house. How many times? I think society has changed, and this may be my opinion. I don't know. You may go along with me on this. But I think society has changed to the place where it's gone from relationships and having a relationship. It's moved from that to where it's gone to a place of how many people that I could have sex with. That's where we're at in this world. I mean, am I wrong? Nod at me. I mean, no, it's just where we're at. Just where we're at. And men are just as bad as women. Women will throw themselves at you. Men will throw themselves at you. It's just the way it is. And whether there's a ring on the hand or not, they will do that because that's what they want to conquer. But on Sunday morning, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where is the self-control? Where is the self-control? Temperance. Temperance. Moderation in action. How do you act when other people aren't around? How do you act when your wife is not around? How do you act when your husband is not around? How do you act when your girlfriend or your boyfriend is not around? How do you act? Let me tell you something. How do you act at work? There was a story I heard one time where this person was with her husband and they were leaving work and the person's husband said, looked at the one guy and he said, I'm a Christian. And he started laughing. He says, you're a what? He said, the way you carry on at work and you're a what? See, sinners know how Christians should act. Even though they're not one, they know how a Christian should act. How do you act? Do you act different at work than you do at church, than you do at home? Every day, you have the opportunity to blow it. You have the opportunity to mess up, to do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, and act the wrong way. Anybody ever heard of Simon Peter? I doubt any of you all, if you lived, including me, I would have never picked the 12 that Jesus picked. I would have never picked them, okay? Simon Peter, what a case. Simon Peter, being armed with a sword, cuts off the servant's ear as he attempts to arrest Jesus in the garden. Anybody know the story? Cuts his ear off. If I did that, my advisory board would have me set so fast on the pew, I would probably never preach again in Braxton County because I did that. But here's the thing, is that God never gives up. He never gives up on us. He's always working on us, making us what he wants to be. Now you stop and think, let's go to another point. Okay, has anybody ever cut somebody's ear off? Please don't raise your hand if you've ever done it. Okay, but you cut off somebody's ear. And all right, so, well, let's take it a step further. Let's take it a step further. Jesus tells him that you're going to do what? You're going to deny me. Denies him how many times? Denies him three times. Then when he raises from the dead, he comes back and he says, feed my sheep. Three times he said, do you love me? And he repented of those three times. Isn't it amazing that he denied him three times, but yet then he repented for all those things that he did. He cut off that guy's ear, and then Jesus takes it and puts it back. Isn't that love? That the person that's going to put you in shackles is the one that loves you the most? And then, just a few days yonder from the time that he denied him, from the time that he cut this guy's ear, he'd been busy. He preached one of the best messages in the book of Acts. And the church is born and 3,000 come into the kingdom. See, Simon Peter, he lived on the edge like some of you all do. I'm telling you, I believe that some people in this church, you say the wrong thing to you, I believe that you choke them to death. I believe you could bring harm to somebody. Because ain't nobody going to talk to me that way. My daddy talked to me that way, or my mama talked to me that way. So that means that if ain't nobody ever going to talk to me that way. So if they ever do, I've got them. Do we have self-control like we need to have? Can you get to a place and a maturity level with Jesus where you can be dead to your emotion? I want to read you a scripture. It's not even in the sermon, but I was looking at this over in Galatians chapter 5:17. 5:17. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, what does this mean? Now, think of this. We know what lust means. We know that lust means to desire. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. When you think about that, the flesh wants what the spirit has. To take it down. Wants to take it down. He wants to, the flesh, your flesh, wants to desire your spirit inside of you so that it can take it down. And then what he's saying here is the flesh against the, and then the spirit against the flesh. So what he's saying to us right here is that your flesh is your flesh is wicked. Your flesh has got stuff wrong with it. You know, your attitude is in your flesh. Your anger is in your flesh. This is how you are. But your spirit is holy. And it intertwines with God's spirit. There's a supernatural transformation that takes place when you accept Jesus into your personal life. And he changes you. He changes the inside of you. But let me tell you something. Your flesh wants to send your spirit, man, your spirit to hell. It will get you in trouble with a woman. It will get you in trouble with a man. It will get you in trouble in your attitude. It will get you in trouble in your thought process. You cannot trust your thoughts. I had the opportunity on Thursday, to do the Bible study lesson at the school at Lighthouse. And I looked at each one of them, and I said, the devil knows who you are. And here's what he says about you. We learned this in our Wednesday night small group at our home. The devil will tell you that you are the best at what you do. That you're beautiful. And that you're gifted. And that you're talented. You say, what, preacher? You saying the devil will tell me that? Oh, yeah, hang on there. The devil will tell you that you're anointed to preach the gospel, to write books, to write songs, to lead the youth, to build churches, to be an apostle for the kingdom. To sing for his glory. The enemy will tell you that. He'll say, there's nobody that sounds any better than you do. There's nobody that looks any better than you do. There's nobody who can build a church like you can. Or to have a family. Or to see the multitude saved. You've got it in you, boy. That's what the devil will tell you. He says, you can do it. He says, you can do it. He said, because you are gifted and you are talented. Do you really believe the devil will say that about you? He'll say that you're going to be able to put your hands on the sick that I've made sick. And they're going to get better. You're going to say something to somebody that's going to cause them to be delivered from drugs, alcohol, sex, porn. You're going to say those words. You're going to have the most powerful deliverance ministry that you could ever have on this world. The devil will tell you that. And then he says this. He says, but I'm going to do everything in my power to stop you. The devil is going to do everything in his power to stop you. Because he knows, whether you know it or not, you're a threat to him. So what does your self-control look like? Galatians 5:15 says this. But you bite and devour one another. Take heed that you do not consume one of another. In verse 16 it says, then I say then, walk in the Spirit that you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified their flesh with the affections and lusts. And verse 25 says this, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to destroy your church. The enemy wants to destroy your marriage. The enemy wants to destroy your ministry. The enemy doesn't want you to write a song. The enemy doesn't want you to write a book. The enemy doesn't want you to launch a ministry that's going to set the captives free. He does not want you to do it. And he is going to stop you if you allow him to. But my word, the Bible that I read says this, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. When are you going to get to the place, church, where enough is enough and you tell the devil to go back to hell where he belongs? It's up to you. God already did it. He already did it at the cross. It's already paid for. There's nothing else that God could do, Jesus could do for you. It's all been done. But you continue day after day after day after day after day, day after day, struggling with the same thing, believing that you are trying to do it on your own. You're trying to get delivered on your own. Let me tell you something. You've already been delivered. You've already been set free. You just got to know how to walk in it. And let me tell you something. I got a finger pointing at you and three and a thumb back at me. I'm trying to get a hold of it too. Because I've not arrived. If you live in the Spirit, you also walk in the Spirit. Why do you think the enemy fights you so bad? He doesn't know your future, but he knows who you are. And he's going to fight you until you quit, till you give up, till you feel like there's no hope. Church, I've been there. I know what it's like to look at your accountant, and your accountant says, you're not out of the woods yet. I know what it's like when the accountant looks at you and says, what bill did we pay this week? And you walk out of that meeting and you say, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're not going to destroy the Pulse Church, because what God has put in Gassaway, West Virginia will prosper. You will not destroy. I have stuck my nose, whether I've been by myself or not. I have stuck my finger in the nose of the devil and tell him, no, you can't have it. I've stuck my finger in the nose of the devil and say, no, devil, you can't have their marriage. I've looked at him and I said, no, you can't have their finances. No, you can't have their dreams. I have stood in his face and I have taunted him and told him that you can't have them. And you can do it for yourself. Because a devil and all hell trembles. My God, when you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, I don't care how your body hurts. I don't care if you've got to run to the bathroom. I don't care if your breath stinks. I don't care if your hair's out of whack. When your feet hit the floor, the devil says, my God, he's awake. My God, he's awake. See, we worry about what we think the devil's going to do to us. It's not what the devil's going to do to us. It's what we're going to do to him. Come on now. We have victory, and it's time for you to learn to walk in victory, church. It's time for you to walk in victory with your health. Let me tell you something. I've been delivered in my back. God has set my back free. I've been prayed for. I don't have any pain in my back. But let me tell you something. The other day, I felt a pain in my left side. And I thought, oh, no. And I can hardly walk for a minute. And I said, no, devil. I said, I've been delivered. I said, I've been set free. I said, my body's whole, healing well. I'm set free. If you've had heart trouble and your heart skips a beat, you think, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. You know, I've got to do something about it. No. Let me tell you something. You're healed. And after you tell the devil what you think about him, and you stick your nose and your finger in his face, and you tell him, he'll leave. Yeah, once he's convinced. Some of you probably couldn't convince the devil to upgrade his air conditioning in hell, because you're so intertwined with him. I wake up in the morning, and I've got a busy week this week. coming up. I've got a lot going on. I'll be up here about every day this week. A lot of stuff going on. Let me tell you something. You don't think the enemy wants to shut a daycare down that hadn't even started yet? A dream from 1998 that's about to happen and about to come because we're going to be able to teach children about Jesus Christ and we're about to love children that don't have the love at home, but yet we're going to try to love them. Don't you think the enemy doesn't want to destroy this church? Because let me tell you something. God is going to use you. He's going to use you to set the captives free. It's not my gig, baby. It's yours. But you're sulking around in your own sorrow. Boo-hoo, my son says. You work out with my son, he'll make a man out of you, even if you're a woman. I say, son, I can't lift that. He'll say, boo-hoo, Dad, do it. Oh, if I could just get you to believe it. If I could just sell it to you. If I could just sell it to you for free. Let me tell you something. At the cross of Calvary, blood was spilt for you so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Let me tell you something. If you're not having the abundant life, let me tell you, it's time for you to rebuke the devil and to rebuke the devil in your home and in your finances and in your life and begin to live as Jesus wants you to live in victory. Yeah, you got victory. You got victory. You're loved. He cares about you. Hallelujah. Don't you ever think that that God doesn't love you. People have sex with other people because they say they love them. Well, I always believe if they love you, they wait. Oh, preacher, you're too old-fashioned. You need to realize. You need to get out your little powder puff that's got that little mirror on it and look at yourself and say, you're blessed. You need to look at yourself and say, hey, I'm the best-looking thing in Gasaway. You need to look in there and say, I'm valuable. I'm valuable. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself because people want to kick you when you're down, just like that video. That guy got down. He was kicking him in the head and punching him. Let me tell you something. That's what the enemy has done to a lot of you, and you've took it. You've absolutely became a coward, and you took it. You're letting him beat up on you. You're letting him crucify you. You're letting him do things to you. And let me tell you something. It's time to change and to walk in victory. You become a pansy. It's like every time the devil goes boo, you think, well, I throw your hands up. Let me tell you something. God is fighting your battle. He is fighting your battle. He is fighting your whatever you think is wrong with you, he's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. What you got to do is stand. He's fighting for your children. You don't have to fight for your children. He'll fight for you. What he's telling you to do is to stand and believe his word. Be dumb enough to believe his word. Let me tell you something. I am. I believe his word. I believe that he says that he is going to bless me. He is going to give me health. He's going to give me the finances that I need. He is going to bless me. You know why? Because the word says so. Now, does the world say so? No way. The world will tell you that you're dumb. You're believing God for what? Well, that's nice. I used to tell that when at work. People who went to other churches and not a soul been saved for 100 years in that church, and you go to them and say, oh man, God delivered somebody. They got healed. Oh, that's nice. Oh, man, somebody got saved on Sunday. Oh, that's nice. You need to have self-control. Stand to your feet. If you're here today and you feel defeated, you should run to this altar. Say, well, why do I have to run to an altar? Let me tell you something. You don't need to be embarrassed about where you are in your life. Let me tell you something. Run to this altar, because people come to an altar. This is where things die. You come to an altar. You sacrifice. You give. I go to this altar. This is my place. I told you all this last week. This is my place. This is where I go. I have meetings all day tomorrow. Before every meeting, I'll go right there. And I'll say, Jesus, give me the words to say. If I'm struggling in an area, I can go to that place right there and say, Jesus, I'm struggling here. See, the thing about it is, we don't want to admit that we struggle in any area of our life. We want people to think that we got it all together. Let me tell you something. We're all struggling somewhere. Come on now. We're all struggling somewhere. The church needs to quit being so high and mighty to where we don't think that, oh, well, you know, if they could just live like me and just play a harp and all this kind of stuff. We all struggle somewhere. Where are you? Where are you with Jesus? Have an area of your life you want to surrender to Him, an addiction that you're struggling with? Don't come and give it to Jesus, because He didn't give it to you. He doesn't want it back. Take it, cast it back to hell where it belongs. You're struggling financially. God wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be blessed so that you can bless other people. But if you're stingy with God, hey, expect the same back. Where are you with Him? The altar's open. Jensen Franklin said this the other day. He said, I don't mean to yell at you. He says, but I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for what God's doing for you. How He's healed your body. How He set you free. The altar's open. Would you come? The altar's open. Would you come?
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance.
You have a sickness you want prayer for today? Come and let me pray for you. Believe God for your healing. You want to accept Jesus into your personal life? Come today. Ask him to save you. Can you do that? Ask Him to save you today. Ask Him to help you. God will deliver you. What is it?
I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, chosen me. Love has called my name.
Need Jesus today, run to this altar. If you need him today, run to this altar. He's here to help you. Oh, he did it for you. Thank you, Jesus. You are a child of the Most High God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
If you knew today you'd be lost and go to hell forever.
I am a child.
Don't leave this place lost. Come to Jesus, would you? Accept him into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. If you knew today that you would die, you knew today that you would die, where would you go, heaven or hell? If you knew you'd go to hell, it's a simple plan of salvation. If you knew that you would go to hell today if you died, you say, well, preacher, I'm not going to die today. How do you know? Tell me, somebody, how do you know that you're not going to die today? How do you know that you're not going to die today? How do you know? If you knew today that you were going to die, you knew today that you were going to die, what would you do to change it? What would you do to change it? Do you want to accept Jesus into your life? Would you just step out of your seat and come and rededicate your life to him? Maybe you used to go to church and you walked with Jesus and something happened and you walked away. He'll take you back. He loves you. Nobody will love you like Jesus. Where are you with him, church? Where are you with him? If you knew today you'd die, step out, would you? Anybody? Anybody? He loves you. He cares for you. You don't want to ever leave here knowing that you wouldn't make it to heaven. If you knew today that you'd be lost forever, you have time. He cares about you. Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for being with us today, Father. As we move into this Thanksgiving season, Father, Lord, we're so thankful. So thankful for what you're doing, for what you've done. How you've turned things around in people's lives, in our lives. Use us, Jesus, for your kingdom. Help us to be what you've called us to be. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless our time together. Father, I pray you bless the food. And God, we ask you to multiply it in Jesus' name. We come to you with our arms wide open. Embrace to love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's what Kathy just told me. It's a friend of ours passed away, pastor for many years and wonderful man. Pray for his family. Today, if we want everyone to stay, those that don't know how to get downstairs, you go back that way and turn left. And we'd ask anybody who's mature, you get to go first. And if you've got somebody to help you get down there, go ahead. One thing that I ask you to do is before you go back for seconds, make sure everybody goes through one time first, just so that we make sure that we have enough food for everybody. Amen. Have a great day in Jesus' name.